Revelation chapter 22, and last week we entered into and saw the wonderful temple of New Jerusalem, that wonderful temple, praise God. And in that wonderful temple, we saw the wonderful throne, the Father, the Son, and praise God, the Holy Ghost, that pure and crystal river flowing from it. Now, those that were here and those that might have not been here, I pray you go back and listen. But we rejoiced in a river and this river of living water. And thank God, we don't have to wait to drink from the river of living water. It's pouring forth right now. It's called the Spirit and Truth Doctrine. Hallelujah. The word of His grace. And it flows from the throne. You keep drinking from that fountain. You keep drinking from that river, and as you go on with it, it'll lead you one place, and that is into the midst of the throne. Praise God. Nothing else will. That's the only way you'll receive that. But we saw in a vision of Ezekiel that he saw this river, and he testified of this river, that when he saw it, the very first things that he saw at the river were the four living ones, those four beasts. He saw the cherubim. Right there. And what a rejoicing it was to see, because what that type was he was seeing the bride of Christ right there at that crystal flowing river. It was where they lived. It was where they occupied. It was where they fed in spirit and truth at the river of living water. And that feeding transformed them. And that feeding transformed them into one thing. Like him. They became like Jesus because they fed on the Spirit and Truth River. Now, they were transformed and they were exalted, hallelujah, into the very same glory for the Lord, all by the Spirit. The reason that we knew that so sweetly was because that's what all grace does. All grace gives us all truth. All grace gives us all love. All grace gives us the power to grow up into Him in all things. The Holy Ghost truth and love doctrine. And what was so beautiful, brothers and sisters, is we saw how pure and lovely that river flowed. That crystal, the purity of it spoke of the lampros white. The lampros white. That of Jesus and His bride and nothing else. It all came from the Spirit and Truth doctrine. It all came from that river. See, that stunning glory, that illumination, if you will, of sun glory can only come one way. And that's feasting on that river of living water. And what was so beautifully testified as we've gone on in Revelation, and we'll read once again, John falls down to worship that one that's walking him around. Because the glory is the same. The glory is so immense that he believes that he's walking around with Christ himself. But as that one that's showing him around keeps lifting John up and says, John, see that you do it not. I'm redeemed just like you. But how beautiful it was for us to see that Ezekiel fell down upon his face. And it was the glory of the Lord that he fell down before. And he said it was the very same glory that he saw of the cherubim at the river. Praise God! How wonderful! And all I can say is, Lord, how do you love me? Let me count the ways. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So now, let's go ahead and read the first four verses of chapter 22. And let's go on in the splendor of the temple. And boy, is it splendid. And I pray the Spirit just have rain tonight as always. And he showed me a pure river of living water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and we read about that golden street. This is that golden street. There's one street that runs through that city. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So you have this tree of life that's seen in the middle of the river, and yet on each side of the river. But it's one tree, because it's one God. It's our Lord and Savior, praise God, Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. Now, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. Isn't that wonderful? No more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Once again, when he's speaking of no more curse, we've got a new earth. That's why we had to have a new earth. The old heaven and old earth were chased away. They were gone. They had to go. And there was created a new heaven and a new earth that never had the appearance of Satan ever on it. No curse. This is speaking of the new earth. But again, all that was there was the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That's what servants do. Isn't that something? Servants serve. Kings reign. Amen? All right. I think you kind of have a hint to where we're going tonight. Amen? Kings? And they shall see his face. How wonderful. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And we'll just kind of settle in there tonight. So what we have here is the reason, once again, that there is no temple in New Jerusalem, because God and the Lamb are the temple of it. The truth of it is right here. Praise God. Now, to see this, I want us to go back and get a vision tonight of Solomon's temple. And that temple had many things to it. But prominent in Solomon's temple are some of the prominent things that God shows us of this New Jerusalem and the temple that's in it, God and the Lamb. The very first thing that you would see as you would walk towards Solomon's temple is you would see two big pillars. And those pillars were what you saw as you would go in. And here, as we see in this description of our temple in New Jerusalem, we see the tree of life. And we see the tree of life in the midst, and yet we see the tree of life on each side of the river and the street. So we have this appearance, in a sense, if you will, that we have pillars as we're walking towards and into the throne that is in New Jerusalem. Now, as we see this, we proceed on a golden street. We proceed on a flowing river that leads to the throne. Just like going through those pillars in the Solomon's temple would take you on in to the Holy of Holies, the place, if you will, of the throne in the temple. Now, in Solomon's temple and in the tabernacle in the wilderness, that place that would be the type of the throne was called the Holy of Holies. It was that inner part. It was the tabernacle, the tent, the temple. It was where the presence of God, which was the ark, the mercy seat, praise God, the blood upon it, his son, and hallelujah, the cherubim dwelt. You'll always hear of that, the ark, the mercy seat, and the cherubim. Isn't that something? How wonderful that is. It's just so all-powerful as the Lord has been bringing this forth of the fellowship that the cherubim, that the four living ones, that the bride of Christ has with him and his son. Praise be to God. Now, and that is exactly what we have here in New Jerusalem. We have the throne. We have the presence of the Trinity and the truth flowing out from it. Now, let's tie this together. That's what the Lord has encouraged my heart tonight, is that we would see this all together in this beautiful picture that was typed in Ezekiel's chapter 1 and 10. If you remember, Ezekiel sees the vision of the river. And remember, the name of that river was Kabar. And the name of Kabar means far off. And it's a river that's far off. But yet it's a river that's so close, isn't it? Praise the Lord. To us, because why? Because we live seated in the heavens in Christ, do we not? And if we're truly living that, then would we not drink from that wonderful river, even right now, the river of living water? Praise God. And we would have that fullness. But see, that river Kabar was that far off river. And the first thing, again, that Ezekiel saw were the four cherubim, the living ones, the four beasts of Revelation, the bride of Christ, all in that type. And it said when he saw them, he saw a throne over them, the appearance of a sapphire. So they're right in that midst of the throne. The glory of God was theirs. As I mentioned earlier, Ezekiel fell upon his face, just as John did in Revelation, because it was the same glory. It was the glory of my Lord. How wonderful! Brothers and sisters, they are like him. The bride is like him. They are of him, and they are in him, and he is in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm emphasizing right now the truth, and we'll go into the scriptures here in a moment, of the oneness that is beyond of Christ and his wife. Now let's stay with that thought. And that's just it. We're going to keep that truth in mind, like him. Now, as we go on into the study of the temple of God and the Lamb in New Jerusalem, I've studied this before and studied it out in a smaller group, and I had one of the people say to me, well, where are the cherubim? We've been reading about this. Where are they? And I said, okay, well, Lord, I need to meditate on this because I know there's more in here. You know, when you know there's more, Holy Ghost just tugging on your heart about something. But yet it's always going to be at a time, and it's called his time. Let's go on back to Exodus 25, 22. This is what we call a Bible study. And Exodus 25, 22. Now this is speaking of the tabernacle in the wilderness. This is speaking specifically here of the Holy of Holies. And this is the Lord telling Moses where he's going to visit with him and talk to him. And in Exodus 25, verse 22, God says to Moses, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So once again, we have the ark, we have the mercy seat, and we have the cherubim. All right? Let's turn on over to Numbers. I'm going to read a similar thing. Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. God's word is true, because here's what happened to Moses. Numbers 7, 89. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with God, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off of the mercy seat, from off the mercy seat, that was upon the ark of testimony between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Once again, we have the ark, we have the mercy seat, we have the cherubims. They're all together. They're always mentioned in that precious pattern, that wonder of what God is revealing. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 37. In Exodus 37, we'll read verses 7 and 8. And there, we're going to read about the making of the mercy seat and the oneness of what is made with the mercy seat. And in verse 7 of chapter 37, it says, and he made two cherubim of gold, beaten out of one piece made he them, on the two ends of the mercy seat. One cherub on the end, on this side, and another cherub on the other end, on that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the two ends thereof. Now, brothers and sisters, it doesn't get any clearer than that. If the bride we will be, it's going to be one thing, his mercy. It's all his mercy. And it's a piece of beaten gold. And the cherubim is made from him, his mercy, praise God. And notice one. They are made of one piece of beaten gold, out from the two ends of the mercy seat, out of the mercy and one with the mercy, two are made one. Two are made one. This oneness is where we're going at right now. Now, let's get on over in the New Testament, and it only gets sweeter. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. verses 6 through 8. In Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 8, it says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man," or not man, "put asunder." One flesh. One flesh. Now, that was made apparent in Genesis 2:23 when Adam was speaking of his sweet wife. And in 2:23, and Adam said, this is now, speaking of Eve, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." How wonderful. And it only gets sweeter. And we have to go to Ephesians. And in Ephesians 5, and we'll read from verse 25 in Ephesians 5. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And as we know, this glorious church is speaking of a portion of the church. This is the glory of glorified together with him that will come out from the church. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished, cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." And now it really gets personal. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Do you see how people, and it is precious, even in our natural type, that we husbands, we need to love our wives. And we are one. And we don't need to be double-minded in our households. We need to be of the mind of Christ. But this is so clear, is it not? This oneness, this marriage, this joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, bringing us right back to the mystery that was made known to us by the Apostle Paul. This was this one who, it said, this dispensation was given to me, Paul said. The mystery of Christ Jesus and his bride. And how wonderful. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So once again, our faithful Lord encouraging us in our marriage. But all of this section is about the mystery. It's about what he is wanting, what he is doing. "For those," praise God, "as it says, that he might present it to himself." That's what happens when a man weds a woman. She is presented to him in that glory state, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's how we should be as Christians. But it's not going to be the whole church. Because it's only those, praise God, that are willing to be separated unto him. The ones that will be like a Rebecca at the well and will say, "I will go. Amen? Sanctified, holy unto him out from among the camp. And the only one that can take us unto him out from among the camp is the Holy Ghost. That's the only one that's going to do it. That's why the necessity of the infilling, the necessity of the fullness, and the necessity, praise God, of the whole counsel of God of spirit and truth doctrine. Also known as this river of living water. Praise God. How wonderful. So, do you see here that she is of him? The whole point here is they are one. They're not two. They're one. And they're seen as one, and they move as one, and they occupy as one. That's it. They're just one. They are of one another. And this is what is so glorious and beyond supernatural in his love and his grace. God makes them one. They're not two, but they're one. So when you look into this throne and you see him, you see her. Because she's with him and she's of him, and they're one. The cherubim's there, but you see one. Remember back in chapter 4 when he looked into the throne for the first time and he saw the two jewels, but yet they were still one. They're one. It's amazing, because now we're getting into, Lord, how do I even comprehend that one? But he tells you that's the way it's going to be, is it not? See, we don't understand that, because even the Lord tells us about this in marriage, but yet we still see two. This is beyond what your eyes see. We're talking spiritual and in spirit and how that's going to work. And now I'm going to tell you, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. And I can testify, and I know you can the same, I love him. And I am thankful I'm beginning to really love him. And I still can't imagine. But I can hear the word. I can hear the word of his grace. And yea, by his spirit, these deep things. That I can see these things in a glass darkly. See, I'm not waiting to see his face. I see his face every day. Amen. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Praise God. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And then you got to remember this too, since we're speaking of the ark. Remember how the ark would be lifted up? The priests would lift it up, wouldn't they? They were around that ark, around the mercy seat, around the cherubim. Because remember this, just get a picture. You have the ark, kind of a rectangular, squarish-looking box, okay? And that box is the ark. They had the commandments that were putting in there, the Aaron's rod. And then the cover of that ark, the lid, that was the mercy seat. It was the top. But from out of that top, that one piece of beaten gold, came the two cherubim. So it had wings, hallelujah, in a way on it. But yet the wings were like this, overshadowing, praise God. And the gaze, the only gaze that those cherubim had were right at the mercy seat. They never looked at anything else. And their faces were covered only for him to see. Isn't that wonderful? See, we're shut up. If we'll go this way, you truly are a vessel for the master's use. People won't understand you. And it's not that I'm telling you, try not to be understood. Don't worry, God does a good job of it. But he understands you and he knows you. And he'll lead you out and he'll bring this to pass in your life. But see, the priests would lift that up. And just as here in New Jerusalem, you've got the 24 elders, you've got the 144,000, you've got it all around this precious internal internal part that is the whole focus of the city. We which is her, him, the throne, the glory. It's magnificent. And everything about that whole city exalts her, exalts him. They're lifted up together, glorified together forever. Praise God. The Philadelphia church, I will make known to them that I have loved thee. That I have loved thee. Think about that. That statement. That's what he's going to make known. That I have loved her. And how he's going to make that known? The exceeding riches of his grace. And we haven't even gotten into that grace yet. And you've got to have a body like unto his own glorious body to handle that kind of grace. In all the ages to come forever. And don't think that there ain't going to be no time there. Because we just read about each month. And in the ages to come. It's infinite. But he wants that woman to know it's going to be for the ages, honey. They're going to count the time, but that time will never end. Amazing, is it not? Time shall be no more. Know it. That means the time to get ready to be in the bride is over. It'll go on. But one thing about God and them that are of God, time has no effect. He incorporates all time. We're out there again, aren't we? Praise God. See what I get to do all day? He takes me these places. It's good. So, glorified together is just what it means. What's mine is yours is just what it means. So glorious, praise God, all of this, all of the other companies, everything is the adornments of her New Jerusalem for him. Now, let's go on. And this incredible temple made of God and the Lamb. We mentioned here this golden street. And the golden street is the way, the truth, and the life. So once again, the street of gold is him. Amen. And then we've mentioned already the tree of life. Well, we know that's him. And you're going to recognize that pattern. Everything's him. Every life that'll ever be is his life. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's not the life that lives in you, his life. See, that's already begun, amen, because he gave you everlasting life. But see, it'll just be in a point beyond, because we'll even have a body like unto his own. And then everything, as it says here, that curse is gone. So anything and everything of a lie, everything ever that you could ever remember, which you won't, about the devil, sin, gone. Gone. Everything that will be made new, the enemy never saw, ever touched, incorporated in any way, shape, or form. It's as if it never was. You don't need to watch movies, and this is real. That's the best part. It's just incredible. Now, the pillars there of Solomon. We'll get a little bit more description here. In Solomon's temple, those pillars, and it was sweet to read and be encouraged with Sister Lynn. She had done a little study here recently. Brought out again about the flowers on the top, the pomegranates that were on the top of the pillars. Those pillars were decorated. They were decorated and they had crowns and wreaths and the fruit that was upon them. It was so precious. Well, think about this. Here is this tree of life and the fruit. The pillars. It's again in type. Here's your temple. Here it is. And it's not made with hands of man. It's of God. Everything's of God. It's Him. Isn't that wonderful? And so all the fruit flows from and of Him. And the temple is all of Him. And all that we have here is Jesus. And His life is going to be the only life that continues on forever. But then it says about the 12 manner of fruit. And that fruit, and the 12 fruit, it speaks once again of the perfect government. That's a hard one to understand in this day and age, isn't it? Well, there really is. And it's the Lord. And that's the only perfect one we have. And it's the only perfect one there will ever be. So I'm thankful I'm a citizen of that city, amen, of heaven, and grateful to God. But that fruit speaks of praise. And you think about perfect praise. Aren't you thankful He gives you perfect praise? You know every praise that you praise to God, it's perfect. Because you're praising Him. Amen. But that'll just be what it is. Everything's perfect praise. Everything's perfect encouragement. Every nourishing. Everything is just so beyond. Everything's in the keeping of the Lord. But it says here that there's leaves that will... there's fruit, and then there's leaves that will feed the nations of the new earth. Go on back there to Revelation. I know we've kind of been drifting a little bit, but get back into some of this. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, this is verse 2 of 22, there was a tree of life. There bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. So we know that those nations, speaking of here, are the nations of the new earth. Those are the ones that went through, and those will be the sheep nations. We're thankful to God that this is what will be. It will only be those that, again, are the believers, the blood, the redeemed. And they go on. But it's so wonderful here that we see there's fruit and leaves. Brothers and sisters, fruit and leaves brings out ranks once again that will be on display throughout eternity. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the fruit. He's everything. The fruit speaks of praise. The fruit speaks of joy. And that joy and fruit is the keeping for some. To others, what their keeping is going to be is a leaf. It's not as much as a fruit, but it's of God and it'll keep you. And it will. And think of that, what it says, the leaf is for the healing of the nations. The nations don't feast upon that fruit, they feast upon the leaf. Think of it this way. Sometimes in a fruit, it's called the meat of the fruit. What is the meat of the fruit? The inner part, amen? And then that leaf is kind of the shell. Well, right now, you're choosing what you're feasting on and what you'll feast on in heaven. And where you'll be seated in heaven and what you'll be doing in heaven is completely determined on what you'll be feasting on and what you're occupying right now as. Are you feasting on the meat? Or is it really just the outer? Not really entering in. You see, there's a difference. There's a lot of type in that. It's just like Elisha. He went in and would not let Elijah out of his sight. He wouldn't even let him out of reach. He wanted to be embraced with him so near that when God took him, he would go. But Elijah told him, now son, you're not going to go with me. Only me. But I'll tell you what do you want? Well, I want a double portion of what you had. I'm sure that gave a big smile on Elijah's face. I don't know if he believed it, but I'm sure he said, you know, I guess if this crazy little fellow's asking for that, God's going to do it. And you know what he did? He gave him a double portion. He did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Isn't that something? But that's God. That's how God does it. God blessed Job with as much as was taken. He doubled everything for Job. If you'll suffer with me, you'll reign. Know it. You're not suffering for nothing. You'll reign with Him. The double portion will be His and yours. It'll be ours. One. Amen? Thank God. But the sons of the prophets, it said they saw Elijah and Elisha afar off. They were like that outer shell, the leaf. They didn't want the meat. There was a difference. There was a separation. going on, and we'll close this out. Verse 3, there shall be no more curse. We kind of touched on that, and all I can say is hallelujah. And once again, this is the new earth. Old Satan, the lie, everything that ever polluted is gone, and not only gone, but never remembered again. That lake of fire is quite a thing. It devours, consumes, and gone. But yet to those that are in it, it's a death that'll never end. But yet in memory of heaven, it will never be remembered again. It's eternal. One way or another, it's going to be eternal. So I appreciate families here that pray for unsaved loved ones. There's going to be an eternity. And yes, there will be. That will never end. For everyone. So the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. New Jerusalem hovering above the new earth and joined. And we saw last week that the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Now here's this last verse we'll touch on tonight. And they shall see his face. You talk about the healing of nations. Aren't you always healed when you see the face of Jesus? Man. You know, he's always got you in his arms and you've just been squirming around like a kid does. And they finally see mom. Oh yeah, she's right here. It's okay. You know, and it's kind of like it is with the Lord and the word of God. You know, you've been fussing and murmuring. Oh, this one's too hard for you. And I don't want to hear that you can help me right now. I'm just going to be traumatic. I want my drama, God. Leave me alone, you know. Oh, please. Please, please don't do that. Oh, Jesus. And you see his face and it's gone. Because he's not going to put up with that. It's me. Come on, it's us. Here we are. Look at me, honey. Look at me. Praise God. And we're thankful for that. So we see that they see his face. And it says, his servants shall serve him. Once again, brothers and sisters, God brings this out over and over. He's going to show us there's ranks all the way through here. It's so evident. You have to choose not to see it or ignore it. But you can't because it's the word of God. Someday you'll know. You will know. And if you're going to be a servant here, you'll be a servant there. God showed us that in so many different ways. The Lord's really working is precious. If the Lord tarry, I don't know if it's for everyone, and I pray it is, because if the Lord tarry, it will be. But a bridal type I've never studied out. And for us brothers, it'll be really wonderful, because all the bridal types have always been women. But this one will really get you. And ladies, you'll enjoy it too. But God's got it on my heart, and maybe we'll hit that after Revelation if he tarry. I'm excited about the opportunity to love him more. But if your servant's here, you'll be a servant over there. We saw that with Martha, didn't we? How could it not be any clearer? And the Lord got after her. But she was doing a good thing. You'd say, well, Jesus, aren't you being a little hard on her? Oh, no, I'm not, because she's disturbing the one I love. The one that I'm going to make known that I have loved thee. It wasn't that he didn't love Martha, but he was in love in type with Mary at his feet. Mary had his attention in a different way. In a way that, hey, we don't want to be bothered. Remember that silence in heaven for a half hour? They're getting ready. Hallelujah. So, there will be an innumerable amount of servants in heaven. We saw them with the innumerable multitude. God showed us very clearly they have palms in their hands. Yep. There's some that'll have crowns. 24 elders will even cast a crown. The bride won't. She'll never let go of that ring. I always appreciated. I always remember Mama with her ring. Slept with it. Whatever with it. It wasn't going off. I'm his. I'm his. Amen? It says here, these are the ones with the mark in their foreheads. We saw the 144,000. We also saw the souls that were under the altar. Those ones never received the glory of the gospel, of the glory of his grace, the ruling and reigning with him. And so many of God's precious people, matter of fact, the majority of them, even right now, as you'll go and visit with Christians, they'll tell you about the kingdom. They think we're in the kingdom right now. That's why we got to do missions everywhere. That's why we're going out and getting everybody saved. But you know, the interesting thing is everybody's not getting saved. And you know why? Because it ain't for right now. Now is the message to his queen. Now is the message to his wife. Now is the message, will you go? And I thank God that he revealed that better part to us. I thank God that he revealed the place of worship at his feet. Glorified together. I don't want anything else for him. And I don't want anything else for me. In the midst of the throne. And how that happens, brothers and sisters, is let's just keep drinking from the river of living water. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.